If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And we'll take our Bible reading beginning from verse 1 and read through to the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians and the 4th chapter. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Trust the Lord to add His own blessing to the reading of His Word. Stamp it with His own seal. And bless our hearts from it. With the Word of God open before us, let's bow together and ask God to meet with us in this time. Our gracious Master and our God, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this, the hour to which Thou hast brought us, and in which, Lord, Thou dost desire that we should worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, we want to worship Thee in just such a way as that. We glory in the cross of Jesus Christ our Savior. We praise Thee and thank Thee, O Christ, that Thou didst come for us, that Thou hast done for us exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And now we pray, Holy Spirit, that Thou wilt come, that Thou wilt move upon our hearts. Take the things of Christ and show them unto us. We long to see Him, whom having not seen, we love. do what thou dost do tonight for the glory of Jesus Christ. Do it, Lord, for his glory alone. Fill me, Holy Spirit, to preach and give me utterance. Melt us all before thee, for Christ our Savior. Undertake for thy people, Lord. Undertake for the lost. They might know this Savior that we know, ere they leave this place. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I want us this evening to look at the last three verses of this chapter, the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What is God doing to us? In our Christian lives, those of us who have been brought by grace to rest in Jesus Christ, though we may not enunciate just those words, must at times ask ourselves the question, when in circumstances of life we find ourselves perplexed, we find ourselves uncertain, we see that God is moving, and yet we do not understand what He is doing. We see the events before us and can see by faith behind them the unseen hand as it shifts and changes and alters these things that we do see. And yet we do not understand them. There are times when we must ask. I have asked, I confess. What is it that God is doing to me in and through this circumstance? And I think at least part of the reason why we ask that question is because we at times lose the perspective of what the Christian life really is. We at times perhaps lose the perspective of what it is that God has said and told us in His Word that He is doing to us in the broader sense. And these questions then begin to arise and to perplex us. Job found himself asking many questions, and he was greatly perplexed and had great thoughts arising in his heart. And I believe that we, when these questions begin to arise in our hearts, need to go back and begin to view things from an eternal perspective. Nothing really that occurs is rightly understood and understood as it should be understood until we begin to view that circumstance from God's perspective. Until we really begin to see things through His eyes, we can never really fully understand what it is that is going on. Now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul had come to an excellent understanding of what it was that God was doing to him. And as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance, he wrote. And he, through the book of 2 Corinthians, talks about the way God has dealt with him, how God has brought him along. And he came to the conclusion that for in his life, the trial was the gateway to his triumph. For him, those afflictions which he suffered were but stepping stones to spiritual affluence. For the Apostle Paul, every harrowing adversity was a doorway to a holy advance. And he understood what it was that God was doing to him. And the conclusions which the Apostle Paul reached, I believe, are thoroughly applicable to all of us. We can look at these things which he wrote under the inspiration of God and see for ourselves, perhaps in not so deep a fashion as Paul was able to see them, at least not yet. But we can at least get some idea of what it is that God is doing to us in the circumstances that He brings to pass in the lives of every one of us. And it's the realization of this, of the nature of what God is doing to us, that will bring to us comfort and will bring to us encouragement and will bring to us grace and courage and the ability to face the things that the Lord allows us to face. It will turn us from an earthly preoccupation and transform our hearts and our minds and give us rather a heavenly preoccupation. A preoccupation not with the things that are here and now and the things of time and of sense, but will give us a preoccupation with Jesus Christ. And I want us to see from this passage of Scripture this evening that our fading earthly life is being replaced by an advancing heavenly one. This passage of Scripture, as I began to think on it and study it, gripped my own soul. It answered questions for me. And early on this week, although I did not know what would happen later on here in the week in the church, the Lord confirmed this message to me, that as I stood before you this evening, that this was the word in season. And then the Lord again confirmed it this morning. So I want us to look into this passage of Scripture this evening to see just what it is about this holy exchange that God would have for us to learn, every one of us personally, tonight. If you look with me into verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And what I want us to see from this is that our bodies are decaying, even as our souls are growing in grace. What does he say? Our outward man perishes. And then he says that the inward man is renewed day by day. God said to Adam in the garden, in regard to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Eve ate, and then Adam ate, and God fulfilled His word. And from that moment, they began to die. And we, the sons of Adam's race, have been consumed with dying ever since. Death is not a respecter of persons. Death rides his pale horse out across the countryside, goes down every lane, goes through every hamlet, knocks at a door here, knocks at a door there, leaves behind him an icy chill and a wail. Death rides on. We, the sons of Adam's race, have since that day when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit which God told them, "Thou shalt not eat of it," we have been consumed with dying, and are yet being consumed the whole of our lives is an unrelenting
march toward death begins one step after another, every day taking us closer to that hour when we will go to our long home. The writer of Ecclesiastes calls it. All of our life is an unrelenting march toward death. And the thing about it is this: no saint of God is exempt from this march. We all are participants in that. We all experience the evidences of our decay. We look in the mirror year by year and do what you will. Our bodies are decaying. We grow older, we change. You can call them laugh lines if you want, but they're evidences of decay. And our bodies are going that direction. But you see, there's a large difference between the process which the saints of God are undergoing and that which the ungodly are undergoing. For the ungodly, when they look in the mirror, are seeing a body which is decaying. But they are also, in their souls, dead in trespasses and in sin. They are going down to a death that will be but the gateway to an eternal death. They are going down a road that is going to lead them to an everlasting death, to an eternal death. Not so for the saint of God. Whereas our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And even though we can see the undeniable signs of our degenerating physical frame, yet though our outward man is perishing, yet the Scripture says that our inward man is being renewed day by day. And the transformational difference between the process that the ungodly are going through as they are going down to death and then to hell, the transformational difference for the saint of God is directly due to the result of the work of Jesus Christ in the life. Because Christ has given us life from within. And though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We are being transformed from within. Our lives are being altered. Our lives are being changed. We are being enabled by the work of Christ through His Holy Spirit more and more to be able to die unto self and to die unto sin and to live unto Christ. And though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. We are changing because Christ is changing us. In verse 6 of this same chapter, we find the proof of exactly what I'm saying. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's Christ that's the reason why we're changing. What is the difference between godly and ungodly, between saved and unsaved? Why is it that one, though his outward body is decaying, is having his inward man transformed and renewed? What is it? The change is that which is wrought by the sanctifying influences of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ has caused the light of the glorious gospel to shine in our hearts. And we're exchanging an earthly glory for a heavenly glory. If you turn over to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians in verse 18, there we find a clear picture of the sanctifying work of God in our lives. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our bodies are decaying, even as our souls are growing in grace. And it's because of this ongoing work of sanctification that we're able to deal with the fact that our bodies are actually decaying. No one likes the idea that we're growing old. No one likes that idea, and some people have great difficulty dealing with it. But our inward man is being renewed day by day. And so as we are being renewed day by day, so our souls can be encouraged, our hearts can be uplifted, and we can take courage from the fact that this earthly body, while it may go down toward the grave, is housing a soul that's being transformed by the Spirit of God. And we're preparing ourselves, being prepared by God for greater things. We're exchanging a fading earthly life for an advancing heavenly one. And there's something else in this passage of Scripture that adds on to this very thing that I've been saying. If you look with me in verse 17, we see that our present afflictions are preparing us to enjoy heavenly delight. In verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." There's not one of us who naturally welcomes affliction. We don't say, "Well, I hope I'm able to be sick this year. I hope I spend lots of time in the hospital this year. I hope that I go to a lot of funerals this year. That's really my desire." We don't welcome affliction. We don't say, "I hope there's sickness and disease in my house and among my friends." That's not our desire. We don't desire depressions and afflictions. And yet afflictions are going to come. They're going to come whether we welcome them or not. They've been coming to the sons of men down through the generations. They've been coming to the people of God year by year and generation upon generation. Afflictions are going to come. And it's very often difficult to see exactly the value that our afflictions have. It's hard for us to see why it is that we have become sick at this particular time, why this injury has occurred at the time when it did, and what it is that this, what value it is that this person should have died at this particular course of time in the course of life. Very hard for us to understand those things. But Paul is able, as God led him to put all these things into perspective, he's able to allow us to see these things from an eternal viewpoint. We find in verse 17 that he first puts our afflictions on their proper level. He calls them by two things. He says that they are light and that they are momentary. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." We think of our afflictions as being heavy and long, even if in the light of our lives they seem to be very brief. We look at our affliction, we say, these are heavy burdens. These are great afflictions. These are things which are weighing down my soul, and they're hard for me, and they are hard. But we're able, by God's grace, to see that these are light afflictions. Light afflictions, and that even though we would think them to be long, yet they are momentary. "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment." Our present afflictions are preparing us to enjoy heavenly delights. He calls them light afflictions. He says they're momentary. And then he goes on to explain the end result of all of our afflictions. He says these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, there's nothing
now that is such an affliction, but that we will trade it in heaven for that which is far better. And our afflictions now are preparing us to enjoy heavenly delights. San Diego is known for its shipyards, among other things. It's a Navy town. There they have the shipyards. In fact, the Exxon tanker Valdez is being now refitted at NASCO in San Diego. If you go down to the shipyards and you watch them work, you're going to see a ship being put together. And if you're able to get close enough to hear exactly what it is they're doing and to behold what it is they're doing, what you're going to see is a swarm of men, and they'll be going all over the hull of that ship. They'll be there with torches in their hands, cutting torches, and they'll be there with drills, and they'll be there with hammers, and they'll be there with welding leads. And all during that time, while you stand there and watch and listen, you'll hear the cacophony of men banging and people working and cutting. You'll see fire, you'll see arc light, you'll see all kinds of things, and you'll hear all kinds of things. And what they're doing there is they're fitting a ship so that it will be prepared to be launched upon a sea. But what God is doing to us in our lives, if He is working with us and fitting us like a ship. And it takes some hammering. And it takes some banging. Having holes drilled in the right places. Pieces bolted together. Welded. God is fitting us as saints of His. And He is preparing to launch us upon an eternal sea. And if that steel could talk, I'm sure that it would say to you that experience is not always pleasant. To be molded, to be bent, to be shaped, to be fitted, to be cut, to be welded. But at the end, when the ship is ready, it's launched upon the sea. God is doing that with us. And those earthly afflictions are preparing us to be launched upon an eternal sea. And our earthly afflictions are the preparation for us to enjoy heavenly delights. For once that ship is ready, and once that ship is done, then it can go out to do the work for which it was prepared. And if again the steel could talk, there's joy for it in doing that for which it was fit and fashioned and purposed in the yard. Our earthly afflictions are preparing us for heavenly delights. There's nothing that we suffer here that we will not trade for better things later. Our afflictions are the things that make us desire heaven more. Our afflictions are those things which cause us to look at the world around us and say, this is not the place I want to be forever. This is not the place that I've got my affection set. This is not the place for me for all time. No, I'm being prepared for something better. I'm being prepared for something for which God is preparing me. And my present affliction is a preparation for a heavenly delight. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And this leads us then to the 18th verse, under which I want us to consider the way in which our fading earthly life is being replaced with an advancing heavenly one. And I want you to see with me in verse 18 that our interest in earthly things is being replaced by an interest in heavenly things. Earthly people, those who know not Jesus Christ, Those who are completely absorbed in this world and in its things are chiefly preoccupied with three things. They're occupied with their buildings, with their bellies, and with their backs. And you think about it. Three things. Where are you going to live or work? What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Their buildings, their bellies, and their backs. Earthly people are preoccupied with earthly things. That takes up their whole time and thinking. That takes up their process of life. Their buildings and their bellies and their backs. And we ourselves were born of earth. We're born of Adam's fallen race. And we would naturally mind also those same earthly things. Those would be the same things that we also would be preoccupied with apart from the work of God in our hearts. But the transformation that Christ has brought to our lives begins by degrees to change our interests. You find someone whose heart and life has been transformed by Jesus Christ and he's not interested in the same things he used to be interested in. He's not consumed by those same things that used to consume him. Those things that he thought were grand and were the things that he should occupy his time and his attention with. Those are not the things he occupies his time and attention with anymore. He is one who now looks upon the things which are not seen. He is one who now is not preoccupied with the here and the now and the things which are seen. He's occupied with the things which are not seen. Those are the things that absorb the attention of that one whom Christ has transformed. He looks at new interests. And what are those things which are not seen? What are those things which begin to preoccupy that individual whom Christ has transformed? Those things which he looks at are the things that are heavenly. He minds not the earthly things. He looks rather at the heavenly things. Here, there are things that we cannot see. We cannot enjoy the full communion of the saints here. We're separated by distance. We're separated by denomination sometimes. We're separated by our defects. Here we cannot enjoy the full communion of the saints of God. Here we cannot see the perfect liberty that we have. We can see some signs of it. We can see some tokens of it, but we don't see that perfect liberty that we have. No, not yet. Here we do not see perfection of grace. We enjoy tokens of grace. We enjoy the grace that the Lord pours out upon us, but we don't see the perfections of grace, not yet. Those are the things which are not seen. Those are the things which we are going to see in their perfection and in their fullness when we get to glory, but we don't see them all in their perfection and in their glory now. We just see the earnest of those things. We just see the tokens. We just see the signs. We just see the parts of them that the Lord permits us to see. But we don't see them all. We're looking forward to other things. We're looking forward to greater things. We're looking forward to better things. Here we cannot have all the comfort that we have there. There we're going to have no curse. There we're going to have no sin. There we're going to have things that we were unable to be comforted with here. For all our sorrow and all our sighing is going to be wiped away. The thing that we do not see here, that I believe is probably greater than all these other things, that we are going to see there, is here we do not yet see Christ face to face. But we're going to. We're going to. And by faith, we behold Him now. Now we see Him by faith, but then we're going to see Him face to face. Not only are we going to see Christ face to face, but we're going to be like Him when we see Him as He is. And that's where our interest lies. That's where our hope lies. That's where our anticipation lies. And we now look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're earthly. They're earthbound things. But the things which are not seen, those are the eternal things. And as our fading earthly life is being
exchanged for an advancing heavenly one. Our interests are changed. We look forward to seeing all these things in their fullness. And most of all, we look forward to seeing Christ our Savior, first and most of all. But while we do not see these things, these are where our interests lie. And all of these things that we have been looking at this evening cause us to faint not. For our inward man is being renewed day by day. We find that our afflictions, which are upon us, are but for a moment. They are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We find that we look now upon the things which are not seen, and we anticipate seeing those things. And our earthly, fading earthly life is being exchanged for an advancing heavenly one. So for those of you who even this evening are contemplating the circumstances that have occurred in the congregation even within the last few days, I trust that these things will be an encouragement to you and give you hope, because the end is not yet. And this fading earthly life is being exchanged for us for that advancing heavenly one. Let us pray. Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou didst open Thy Word unto us this evening. We pray that Thou wilt cause it to bring fruit in the lives, especially of Thy people this evening, to lift them up and to encourage them, in order that they might glory in Jesus Christ, is doing this transformation in them. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.